Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, August 31st, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 82, the second paragraph, If We Have No Such Complication, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Nancy L., Reader of the Text, Dana P., Leslie M. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Stephanie L. The reference number for Monday, August 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,655. That's 17655. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17,660. That's 17660. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service on Teen Tuesday this month. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. And I'll now ask Nancy L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Nancy recovered for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to read the traditions this month. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 82, the second paragraph, if we have no such complication. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service, and it's such an honor to be here with all of you in the month of August. Dana P. in California. If we have no such complication, there is plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patience mothers and wives have with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today and would perhaps be dead. Wow. You know, I was listening to the meeting earlier today, and yes. My mother keeps coming to my mind, and I recall our chaotic home as a child growing up and into my teen years, and when I first became obsessed with food at 17. And I went on a very restrictive diet and became anorexic. And for years and years, and I'm 59 years old now, so for 41 years, I struggled on and off with this disease. And it occurs to me just today, you know, you'd think I've been through the steps and I worked this program and I'm recovered, and you'd think that all that would be clear and that I've made my amends to my mother. But, boy, this last week, it's really been coming up to me how she absolutely did the very best she could, and my mother loved me so very much, and what an insanity that I put her through these years and years of this disease. And as she watched me, in my illness, in my sickness, in the disease, and I was in a treatment program at one point, and she came to support me in that time. And, you know, and I'm thinking this morning and contemplating back over the years how my mother was nothing but supportive of me, and I resented her. I blamed her for all of my problems. I blamed her for the disease. And, you know, I realize I get to do some writing. I need to get to make another amends to her on a deeper level. And something came to me. It says how we were shockingly treating that person. And I remember once, again, as a teenager when I was completely out of control, and this was prior to the food addiction, but I was doing a lot of other very inappropriate things. And I said something very obnoxious to my mother, and the only time that she ever slapped me, and she slapped me on the face, and I realized that was a shocking thing. So whatever came out of my mouth was so shocking that it inspired her, if you will, to slap my face. And I get to make amends for all of that crazy behavior and the way that I was growing up, and even continue to be, because it's still there. I need to do something with that. So with that, you know, the complicated relationships with mothers and daughters, and what a gift of this program. So thank you so much, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Dana P. And now I'll be opening up the line to take the names of people who will share on this paragraph. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
CT from California.
All
Catherine
right.
Catherine B.
from UK.
Catherine B. And was that Claire E. from the UK?
Certainly was. Thank you, Dawn.
Okay. All right. I have CTT, Catherine B., and Claire E. Did I miss someone? Would anyone else like to add their name to the list? Okay. Let's start with CTT. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is CT. I'm a compulsive overeater. And when it opened me, Lee, that was powerful. Spoke to me so much. I'm out of the box, so I didn't read the chapter or the paragraph other than listening to it. And I am so grateful for OA. I was a difficult child, and I did things to my mom, who loved me unconditionally, that I couldn't even see that she was loving me. And I'm a grandma now, and I get to watch my daughter do the I love you no matter what thing to her child, and I get reminded about that I too did that with my child. That when I look back on the things that I did to my daughter because of my addiction, and the things that I did to my parents and my family through my addiction as I was younger and then before I came into program, were pretty outstanding and phenomenally shocking, like the woman said before, shocking behaviors. And I, too, came into programs through the court system, and my sweet mom freaking came to jail and visited me. Like, she stood in that line in Orange County Jail, came in. She came to rehab. She actually put me in rehab through rehab financially. Amazing things that my parents did that were loving, that I just felt different. I felt different from a very young age. I was had so many troubles, and around puberty, food became like the way that I controlled those feelings. And today, when I feel like I am going to the food, I am so grateful for the program, because then I can use some of the tools that I've learned here to keep me from picking up that first bite that will start a cycle of shocking behaviors. Maybe that other people don't know, because I do a lot of my eating quietly and behind closed doors. And I just wanted to be to join in the thing that the first woman shared was so good about the amends. So I made an amends to my mom. My father had passed before I came into programs, about 6 months before, unfortunately. And I know my dad would be really proud of the successes that I've had because of the 12 steps. But with my mom, I made a personal amends. And then about 10 or 12 years into being in program, my behavior got shocking again. And I had to make a second amend about when I was about 16 years sober. And at that point, I think it was about 6 years. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I made a second amends. And today, my mom's 90. I'm 65. And the amends that I make now is the living amends. I mean, I made living amends in all this time, too. But I noticed that my behavior gets bad. And my living amends now is that I'm there for her doctor's appointments. I'm there for if she needs to go to the grocery store. I'm there if she wants to talk about program. My mom's in program, too. She came in learning about Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. In the rehab that I was in, you know, just a program of attraction. And I am so grateful. But I still struggle around food, around my mom, because she put me on a diet when I was young, many diets while I was young, and I didn't really understand the reason behind all of that. Thank you for my time. Today I understand that it was because she loved me so much that she was trying to help me. And with that, I am so grateful for the Program of Overeaters Anonymous, for my powerful, loving God, and for my mom. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Beautiful shares today. And now we'll have Catherine B. share, followed by Claire E. Good morning, Catherine. If you want to share where you're calling from as well, it'd be great.
Good morning. This is Catherine B. from Minnesota. That paragraph really struck me. My dear husband put up with a lot of my behavior, a lot of my depression, my anger and disappointment in myself, a lot of blaming him because he worked such long hours that he wasn't home with me when I wanted him to be paying attention to me. He was ever so patient. And now that I'm in the program, he continues to be so very supportive and, again, ever so patient with all the changes I've had to make and the changes in our eating and my menus. He follows right along with me on his own free will because he doesn't want to tempt me or do anything that would cause me, he thinks, to get into trouble again. And he was not the reason that I got into trouble, and he would not be the reason now today either. I got my own self into trouble, and he loved me through it all, and I am so, so very blessed. And I thank God for him and this program and all that I've learned and all of the meetings that I've been able to be on through phone and Zoom. I thank you, God. I'm on vacation right now looking at beautiful Lake Superior, and I just am full to overflowing. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Catherine B. from Minnesota. Claire E., will you share with us, please?
Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, everybody, for your service. Great sharing. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic from Cornwall in the UK. And I'm really pleased to be on this paragraph because for the last couple of weeks, I found it really difficult to sort of share and identify with my amends because that wasn't my experience. But we really come on to my experience now, my amends, which for the vast, vast majority were a living amends, particularly with those that are closest to me because they were the ones that got the brunt of my behaviour. And, you know, my amends aren't dramatic, but when it comes to, you know, the way I treated my husband and my mum, you know, I was so selfish. I was so, it was all about me. I was judgment, and this is abstinent as well. And it says here, you know, certainly we must keep abstinent for there will be no home. But, you know, if I'm unfeeling, if I think the only thing I need to do is keep abstinent, because I am very guilty of having been stark raving abstinent from time to time. And, you know, I know that my behavior comes out sideways. I've been resentful. I've been critical. I've been judgmental. I've had rage. I've blamed particularly my mother, as has been shared earlier, for the way I am, for the way I feel, for the way I am, for my eating disorder. And I remember an incident, you know, when I was about 6 months abstinent, where my mum took this special bread that I had that I could eat, and I had no bread left, and I screamed at her, and I, you know, it was just, and I felt so self-righteous about that until I spoke to my sponsor and she pointed out how I behaved, and you know, I just have no insight as to what it's like to live with me. And you know, these days, this is the vast majority of my living amends, as I said, is to be a pleasant person to be around, you know, to be not critical and judgmental, to take that to my step 10 inventory, you know, to not blame other people. It's so easy to focus on the defects of my nearest and dearest, you know, but when I actually look at my own stuff, as it says, there's plenty to do. It's more than enough to keep me occupied to work on my own defects of character. And, you know, I have ideals now that I've written around being a wife, being a mother, being a daughter. And again, I'm powerless even to live up to those ideals without my higher power. You know, my higher power is what gives me power to be different and to be a different person to be around. And, you know, my mum probably saved my life when I was 17. Love this thing, you know, we wouldn't have had any homes, we'd be dead. You know, my mum, when I was 17 and I was in the absolute throes of my eating disorder as a teenager and drinking and taking drugs as well, basically kicked me out into a treatment centre. She said I couldn't come home. And, you know, I today believe that she saved my life by not enabling my illness. And, you know, what I need to repay her with is stability and, you know, just being a decent human being to my mum, kindness, tolerance, patience, all the stuff that she's shown me over the years, although I like to blame her for things she didn't do. I will pass with that. Thank you so much for letting me.
Thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We're on page 82, the second paragraph. If we have no such complication, and we're commenting on that one paragraph, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Linda B.
Linda B.
Robin P.
Robin P. Who else would like to share?
Marty J.
Marty J. Okay, I've got Linda B., Robin P., Marty J. Let's go ahead with Linda B., and if you'd please share where you're calling from. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Dawn. It's Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, compulsive overeater. What's coming to mind this morning is the number of opportunities I missed being engaged with family. Because of the isolation, I looked for every opportunity I could find not to be involved so I could stay at home alone and eat. And, you know, I look back, my children are adults now, and I think of all the times, you know, even like going out and building a snowman, I would prefer to sit inside and have something to eat while they were out having fun. And that's the word, fun. I missed out on so much fun with my young family because I was just so invested in me and the food and whatever I could do to get rid of that uncomfortable feeling within myself. And I'm grateful. I'm aware of that now, and I can make time and effort into trying to make those moments happen again where we can have fun and laugh and share together, because the isolation was such a big, big, big part of my food issue. And because I would not eat that way in front of other people, and I didn't want you to know what a horrible, horrible person I was by the way I ate. And so that's what's coming to mind today. And today is a new day, and I can take new action today and be present and engaged in my conversations with not just my family, but my neighbors, store clerks, with the world around me, to be present and involved and communicate and be part of this universe and society. I'm just very grateful this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Linda B. from Canada. And now Robin P., will you share with us this morning, followed by Marty J. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much, John, for your service and everybody doing service on this meeting. And I am Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. You know, I grew up in so much child abuse, and when I came into the program and got abstinent, I felt, how would I ever have a relationship with these people? And by working the steps, and it's been a miraculous thing. I have such great love with everyone in my family. And, you know, my mom, we didn't have any contact for 20 years at one point, and she's one of our closest friends, my husband and myself, and you know, we call her every day as part of my living amends, you know, and we're actually going to go, we live in Costa Rica, and we're going for several days to go visit her because she's not doing well. And so I'm really grateful that it's because of the program. Without the program, and it says, you know, that we wouldn't have family. You know, we wouldn't, and we could be dead. And all of that is completely true. And I literally owe the relationships with my family to this program. And, you know, my sister, I think that COVID has affected, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. COVID has affected relationships within some families. And my sister was very, very afraid. And she was one of my best friends for years, for our whole lives. And she wouldn't be near anybody, including us, for like 2 years. And it was so heartbreaking for me. But I got to work my steps and my recovery. And just, I have tools today for dealing with these relationships. And if I didn't have them, I wouldn't have these relationships. So God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks so much. Thanks, Dawn. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. And now Marty J., will you share with us, please? And then I'll be opening up the lines. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. This is Marty J. from Torrance, California. I just really appreciate everybody's shares and everyone's service on this line. Gosh, you know, when I was brought into program, I was, for the first time, I was probably 10 years old, and I went with my mom, and I sat in the rooms on the floor while she did her meeting, and I didn't really pay attention. But something must have stuck because, you know, we come from also a long line of compulsive overeaters. I remember stories of my grandmother. I remember my aunt and my mom always talking about weight, always the obsession of food. It's just ingrained in every facet of my life. And, you know, my mom coming from a alcoholic abusive home and marrying an alcoholic abusive husband, and me growing up in an alcoholic abusive compulsive overeating now on both sides, and my father dying from this disease. It's just weaved throughout my whole life. And at the same time, there's something in that first time when I was 10 years old, going with my mom for about a year on and off, that something seeped in. And, you know, kids probably weren't allowed to go, but you know, she was a single mom, you know, divorced mom, trying to do the right thing. And at the same time, something in me has always resented that she always put me on a diet or always brought me to those meetings, or like I wasn't good enough. So she wanted to sort of manipulate me into going. And maybe half of that was true. Maybe half of it wasn't. But either way, I was grateful that she started me in those programs, introduced me, encouraged me to come back after many years as an adult, seeing that all the things that, you know, I have lived through, that she knew that there was a solution. She may not have been able to work the program well herself, or does any, you know, do I work the program well? I mean, is there a work the program well? there is just a work the program. You just do the footwork, the best of your ability, and there is no perfection, as we know, that there is just progress. And so I, you know, I just really appreciate the fact that my mom was such a positive influence, that she knew that if she couldn't provide that to me, she knew the program could. And it allowed me to, unknowingly, but I recognize it now from this call, that I was able to make an amends to my father before he died, and that I did absolutely everything I could to make my side of the street clean, and to pray to a God that I could leave that relationship peacefully. And so thank you for letting me share, and so grateful for the opportunity to be able to make amends on a daily basis. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Marty J. from California. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We're on page 82, the second paragraph, if we have no such complication. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Stacy A.
Stacy A.
Robin L. from Connecticut.
Robin L. Who else would like to share?
Hi, this is Yvette A. I would like to share.
Yvette A.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, let's go with that lineup. We have Stacy A., Robin L., Yvette A., and Donna B. Good morning, Stacy. Please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for holding this meeting. I'm Stacy A. from New York City, a teacher, bulimic, sedentary off-fooder, binger, restrictor, over-exerciser. I'm still a newbie. Recently just got engaged. And I kind of relapsed and starting all over again to step one. Been on vacation. So yeah, that's when everything started happening again. I was on step four, and talking with my sponsor, we both agreed that I was really going to start on step one again, which I know I'm totally powerless over food. But what I have been learning since being in OA since December is that I'm totally powerless. But being in my relationship is that I am learning to keep my side of the street clean. And I'm actually able to go to bed at night for the first time being in this relationship and apologizing to my spouse if I do something wrong right away, or talking about it to God and making amends with it right away. And I know when my spouse asks me for advice, I try not to play God. And I sometimes ask him, like, am I trying to give you advice or am I playing God? And I did that last night with a conversation for the first time ever in my life, because I don't want to play God with the conversations. I want to just give suggestions or be very helpful in what I do. I'm not here to try to control situations anymore. I just want to give suggestions if someone asks me and move on throughout my day. Or it's like giving amends if I do something wrong or if I snap. Move on fast and go about my day, give service to where it's needed, and that's what the program has taught me to do. And it helps me live my life so much better and not go for the food as much as I used to or my other behaviors. And just listening to meetings and people who are recovered, I know there's so much hope within the 12-step program. And I might now also need another 12-step program, which I'm okay with. But before all this, I was not okay with anything. And the more I dig deeper and listen, I'm okay with anything to help me be a better person and live life to the best I can. And also, I finally have found that there is a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass, and thank you so much for this meeting today and for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stacy A. from New York. And now we'll have Robin L. from Connecticut. Will you share with us, please?
Yes, this is Robin L. from Connecticut, compulsive overeater. And thank you for the opportunity to share. What strikes me today first is the alcoholic says all he needs to do is stay sober. And for me, that's food sober, that's abstinent. And there's a whole lot more in those 12 steps that I need to do on a daily basis. It's not a one-time deal for me, and so I have to live by this program. And that means being abstinent and doing a lot more. And the next thing is that I gave my parents a run for their money over and over and over again, not only with my food addiction, but in another program that taught me that my behavior and my attitudes had to change if I wanted to recover. And so when I did my amends with my dad, because I didn't feel lovable, he said to me, "I love you from the day you were born." Now, when I did my amends with my mom, I had been in an argument with her where I reached out to do physical harm to her, and it scared her and it scared me. So when I did my amends with her, you know, I apologized and told her I would do better from then on. And when I do my amends, I always say, if there's anything that I've left out, please let's talk about it now. And boy, did she give me some things to talk about. But in the end, it was a loving conversation. And my living amends with her, she had Alzheimer's in the end, and I was able to be her caregiver. So I did living amends with her. And also with my dad, because he also had addiction, and I could understand it and be more loving toward him. So I believe that I would be dead today because I practice hard and heavy with these both of my diseases. And only when I came into OA did I learn that I had a disease and there was a solution, and that solution was God. So that's all I have for today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin L. from Connecticut. Yvette A., will you share with us now, followed by Donna B.? Good morning, Yvette.
Hi, this is Yvette A., compulsive overeater from Texas. I love the reading. It reminds me, you know, my mom has been passed almost 10 years now, unfortunately, but she brought me to OA when I was probably in elementary school. I remember going, and I don't know if we went, how many times we went. And I don't really know now. I think she was doing it for me. My mom also had food issues, but not like mine. And I think she could see at an early age what, you know, that I really had really bad food issues. But so I always remember she was the first one to bring me in years ago. And I've been in and out ever since. And hopefully I'm here to stay now. But I just wanted to say, I know that, you know, I made an amends to my mom before she died. I wish she was still alive because I would most likely make another one to her. Maybe I'll write a letter and offer to my dad who's passed. I believe I did make an amends via letter to him. I was just thinking about that. So maybe I need to go back and do that again. But anyway, the point is, you know, I was very selfish growing up. I was a brat a lot of times. I would have anger outbursts. And yes, I did show my mom love. And I know when she died that she knew I loved her, but still, there's so many things I wish I could have done differently. And you can't, you know, I don't get do-overs. This doesn't work that way. But I'm very, very grateful for the love and support, you know, that I had from both of my parents. Yes, it was dysfunctional family. Yes, my dad drank when I was young, or yes, my mom and dad fought when I was young. But despite all the dysfunction, I always felt loved. And so I'm just really, really grateful. And like I said, you know, I'm probably going to go back and do a letter amends to both of them just to get, just because I feel it's necessary. They really loved me and supported me through everything. And I'm just really grateful. But I'm grateful that you guys are here. I'm grateful that this meeting's here. I appreciate everybody. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Yvette A. from Texas. Donna B., will you share with us now? And then I'll be opening up the lines. Just a reminder, we are on page 82, the second paragraph. If we have no such complication, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna, a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver. And in listening to the shares and looking at this paragraph, one of the things that I'm reminded of is at the very, very, very beginning of the doctor's opinion, we have not talked about food. We have not talked about God. We have not talked about the steps. We have not talked about the fellowship. But it begins with this seed that as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. And so when I work with others and we get into the doctor's opinion, that's an opportunity for me to say, look at this, like before we've done anything, before we've talked about anything, Bill is already planting the seed of the importance of carrying this message and working with others. So this idea that being sober is enough is so far from the truth. For me, becoming abstinent created a window of opportunity. Initially, the window of opportunity to work the steps, the window of opportunity to see myself, to hopefully develop a relationship with a higher power, and then ultimately to get to the steps that are intended to keep me working this program and working with others. Part of the people that I, you know, quote unquote, work with are my family members. I always thought that if I told my children that I have an eating disorder, that I'm in a 12-step program, that I have a mental health condition, that that would be sufficient. They would afford me grace. But they're kids. They're only kids. They don't have that level of maturity and understanding. They're not looking for me to explain why I behave the way that I do. They're looking to see that I treat them with tolerance, patience, kindliness, and love. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'd like to take a couple names of people who would like to share.
Hi, Kristen from California.
Was that Kristen from California? Okay, I think that was right. Kristen from California. Do we have another name?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, if you'd each take about two and a half minutes. Good morning, Kristen from California.
Hi, good morning. This is Crystal from California.
Crystal, very good.
Thank you so much. I'm just claiming my seat. I'm working on my fourth step right now, and I just feel like it's important that I just keep claiming my seat because this addiction, I love to be in secret. And so you all have given me so much unintended food for thought today. And I was on an outreach call, and a woman had said, oh, I crave snacks, but now they're spiritual snacks. So for me, that was really helpful. And I just wanted to continue to use my voice, claim my seat, and thank you all so much for sharing what brought me so much shame in the past. I feel like when you're in the sunlight, sorry, I'm walking. It's just easier to get honest. So thank you all for being here. Have a great day.
Thank you, Crystal from California. Now, Jordan L., please share with us. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I sure can.
My name is Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent this morning. I don't know what it is, man. This paragraph got me. I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes. There's a couple different kinds of amends that are discussed in this chapter. And this is like, if you study it closely, then you can kind of differentiate the different types. And this is the first paragraph. This is the first paragraph of the living amend. And it's been a long time since I made amends to my parents. And that first time was really beautiful and very emotional. It was the first time that I ever got to own. I took responsibility for my behavior. I wasn't blaming it on anybody else. I was owning it, you know. And it did absolutely wonders for my recovery in every way, shape, or form. But now, 12 years later, like, this is, I still have to keep showing up, you know. And the living amend is the one that, like, we really practice this with family. And my experience over the years, like, the amends that I make, it shifts, you know. And I think that that's probably because of, I think it's because of step three. Like in step three, we start playing the role that God would have us play in this world, right? Or at least we make the decision to start playing that role. And then the rest of the steps, they show us how to, like, follow through with that decision. And the living amends, like, that's what I do. I show up and I play God's role. I don't play God. I play the role that God has assigned me, right? instead of the role that I would assign myself. And I show up and I love people and I don't try to fix them. And I don't try to tell them what to do or how to live their lives or any of that stuff. Like, I just show up and I be with them. And I love them where they're at, in all of its glory and dysfunction, you know. And it's a result of, like, practicing this program over and over and over again for years and years, that's the role I get to play today. And it's powerful stuff, man. There's a lot of power in that. The right kind of power, you know, like that loving power that we have harnessed in this room,
time.
In the rooms of fellowship. So thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L., and everyone who shared. Now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Teach with that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Just waiting for the recording to be stopped.